Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts—better parts, better prices every day. Hopefully everybody had a happy and healthy and safe holiday week and holiday weekend and holiday yesterday. We're back at it. As always, you can hit me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can always watch the show as well at watchda.com. Coming up, we will discuss Joey Chestnut's historic victory yesterday in the hot dog eating competition. 72 hot dogs put down. That's new world record. Also takes home the belt yet again. However, there is still very icy feelings towards Joey Chestnut here on this show based on what he pulled yesterday, or last year rather, in our studios. We will discuss with that as the backdrop Chestnut's historic day yesterday. Look at the star power of the NBA and look at what happened over the course of this weekend. You had Kevin Durant staying at Golden State. You had Paul George being traded to Oklahoma City. You had Paul Millsap going to the Denver Nuggets. You had Chris Paul moving to the Houston Rockets last week. Largely, almost entirely, outside of Gordon Hayward moving to the Boston Celtics, the talent has pooled in the West. And that just is the way that it has gone. That's the way this offseason has gone. That's the way all of this movement has gone. All of the high-end superstar talent has pooled in the West. Which makes you wonder about LeBron a year from now. Does LeBron want to leave and have to battle in the Western Conference with all of those other players out there? If you're LeBron and you are just on an Eastern Conference team, also Jimmy Butler joining the Minnesota Timberwolves, if you are in the East and you are LeBron, how much easier is it to simply go right in to the NBA Finals every year or the Eastern Conference Finals at minimum every year without breaking a sweat versus going through the West and perhaps getting knocked off in the second round, the Conference Finals, hell, maybe even the first round with all of the talent that's out there? LeBron a year from now feels like he's continuously moving away from Cleveland. But in terms of the landscape of talent, man, there's never been such an uneven breakdown of one conference versus the other in terms of talent. It's all out West now, outside of LeBron and now Gordon Hayward. And I don't know where you would put Gordon Hayward, a top 20 player, but not a top 10 player. I'm not even sure if he's a top 15 player. Kyle Lowry did end up staying with Toronto. But again, all of this other player movement, Butler, George, Millsap, moving out West, and then other guys like Chris Paul staying out West and Blake Griffin remaining out West. Is it time that the NBA should think about reseeding the NBA playoffs? When you look at the standings last year, the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Rockets all had more wins than anybody in the East. And the Clippers and Jazz, who were the 4 and 5 seeds in the West, had as many wins as the Cavaliers did. Just a quick look at the standings. Here is what a reseeded playoffs would look like. In other words, there is no West versus East. This is just the seedings based on how good your records are. Golden State would be the number one seed overall, but San Antonio would be the number one seed on the other side of the bracket. The Houston Rockets would be the 2 seed on the Warriors side of the conference. The Celtics would be the 2 seed on the Spurs side. The Clippers would be the 3 on the Golden State side. The Cavaliers would be the 3 on the Spurs side. Your 4-5 matchups on the Warriors side, Jazz 4, Wizards 5. San Antonio side, Toronto 4, OKC 5. So this is how it would break down. If you did it that way and seedings held, that in the second round, you would get Golden State versus the Jazz or the Wizards, and the 2-3 matchup would be the Rockets versus the Clippers. On the other side, it'd be the Spurs versus the winner of Toronto versus OKC, and then the Celtics and Cavs would be the second round matchup instead of the Eastern Finals. That'd be the 2-3. With all of this talent moving also to the West, it makes you wonder. I mean, in other words, for Oklahoma City, could they be the 4 seed in the West, but really be the 1 seed in the East? Could they be the 5 seed in the West, but really the 2 seed in the East? You know, it could. Now, things like this, as analysts will say, are cyclical. So if you changed it now, it wouldn't necessarily hold because 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, it could be the East that's totally loaded and the West has no talent. I'm not so sure, though, that the conferences themselves actually are necessary in today's day and age. I mean, it helps keep, I guess, travel to the minimum that you want so that you're trying to kind of group travel together and got in teams that are regional teams and close to one another. It helps cut down on air flight time and travel time. But at the same time, outside of our old kind of conventional thoughts of, well, this team's in the East, this team's in the West, it might not make that much sense. Like, does it make sense for Paul George and Russell Westbrook to kill themselves to get out of the first round? Whereas LeBron and the Celtics basically can just cruise right through to the Eastern Finals? Or that LeBron barely breaks a sweat to even get to the NBA Finals? Doesn't quite seem equitable, but it's where we are, and it does make you wonder. I don't think the NBA would ever do this. It's too radical. But I'll tell you, it would make the playoffs way better. It really would, because if you had the playoffs seeded like that, then you wouldn't just say, well, wake me up in the NBA Finals. You'd say, well, we've got some good matchups coming up here in the NBA playoffs, because it's strictly seeded based on who had the best years. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Guys, help me out with the pronunciation here of our next caller.
Fishkind
is in Baltimore, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1300. Good morning, Fish.
Hi, D.A.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Can I get a beam up?
Okay, my man. Fishkind.
Yeah.
All right.
I just want to say one point. That I actually listened to your first show.
First show ever. When was that?
2012.
Okay, when we first launched. That was like January 1, 2013.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, so that's the overnight, when we first launched the network on the overnights.
Yeah.
What were you doing up at 2 a.m. in the morning, brother?
I was just like I had to go. I was just up and like I woke up and I had the radio on. So
all right. Okay. So you woke up middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. You're like, let me listen to the radio. DA is on. Let me check this out.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. And then ever since then, I can't get enough.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like my mother will say, Zevi, I need you. I'm like, can I just finish up this one little segment, like the last 2 minutes of the segment?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, we love that. That's a hardcore D alien you've become. Well done.
Yeah. So my question, my point is, The whole thing with the Rays first baseman, a DH outfielder thing.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, Logan Morris.
I really think that he's 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
If you really don't do, like, if you're not on a popular team, then why should you be messed over?
Yeah, we were talking about this before, man, and I get what Logan Morrison is talking about. He sees himself, or he sees Mike Moustakas, not get the run they deserve, like getting the nod to the home run derby because they play in a smaller market. Because they're in Tampa Bay like Logan Morrison is, or in Kansas City like Mike Moustakas is, and they see Gary Sanchez, who has not had a very solid year, or at least has not had the year that he had last year, in the home run derby, and goes, that's because he's a Yankee. And Logan Morrison's right. That's why he is. If Gary Sanchez played for the Rays, Gary Sanchez is not in the home run derby. It wouldn't be based on the merit of the first half of the season. But the home run derby is ultimately just a marketing tool for baseball. It's just to get people talking. It's not for any serious crown. It's not for any serious achievement. Do you remember who won the home run derby 2 years ago? I mean, ultimately, I think that we all know it doesn't really matter what happens to that thing. It's just kind of a made-for-TV spectacle to try to draw interest. And if that's what it is, then getting the guys that draw the most interest anyway competing in it is just par for the course. 855-212-4CBS. I do love, though, hearing from anybody that was locked into the overnights and said, hey, you know what? I'm in. And hey, Ma, I need to listen to more DA. I'll be there later, all right?
Aw, I love the dog.
Daryl's in Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio 640. What's going on, Daryl?
Not much. How are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, I was kind of listening to you talk about maybe the possibility, or you thought maybe doing away with conferences would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And I've thought that for years as far as the NFL goes, just for the mere fact that, say, a team, the NFC East, for example, you could have a team there that would be 6-0 in conference and still not make the playoffs. So, you know, what good is, what's the purpose of having the conference?
Yeah, it's like when we had a 7-8-1 team get into the playoffs, or a 7-9 Seahawks team get into the playoffs. If you had actually just simply taken the 8 best teams or 10 best teams, or whatever it is, in the NFL postseason, those teams wouldn't make it. And I think it's far more equitable. I think it's far more fair. It'll never happen because the NFL and all these leagues, they derive identity via their conference alignments and their division alignments. You know, it's just, it is. Like, the AFC North we know is Steelers-Ravens. We know the NFC East is Cowboys-Eagles or Eagles-Giants. We have these built-in ideas. The AFC West is the Broncos and the Raiders, or the Chiefs and the Raiders, or the Chiefs and the Broncos. We have these built-in allegiances that helps build the league up, and so we have these. But does it really make sense just because you play in a crummy division to have a 7-9 team make the playoffs when a 10-6 team doesn't? No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't, but it'll never change. When we come back, Joey Chestnut wins again. But there's bad blood, like Taylor Swift once sang about. There's bad blood between him and the DA show, and we discuss in that context what he did historically yesterday and where it sits. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Wonderful time slot, although I'm used to having a libation during your show at night. It's been kind of odd drinking coffee to you, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience thus far.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And the DA show is also on YouTube. Go to CBS Sports Radio's channel on YouTube and watch the best of the show and clips and rants and snippets from every single day. It's short, digestible video from every show every day. Just go to YouTube.com and search CBS Sports Radio, and you'll get all the clips of the DA show every single day. Yesterday, a man that we know very well here on the DA show set a world record, Joey Chestnut, in the hot dog eating competition at Nathan's on Coney Island yesterday. Had a historic day, 72 hot dogs eaten in 10 minutes, plus the buns. That is a world record. He takes home the championship, and that means he's a 10-time world champion hot dog eater. Do we have clips from Joey? So was this from last year on the show, or is this from yesterday's victory?
No, this would be from last year on the show.
So just to give you the background, Joey Chestnut and Megatoad, did Megatoad compete yesterday?
Yes, he finished in third. He had a poor showing, only 48 dogs.
They both come in last year, right around July 4th, a couple of days earlier here in studio. And we love competitive eating because we love eating and we love food around here on the dock.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
We had promoted and honored Joey Chestnut, respected him in all of his glory and successes in previous years, and really held him in the highest esteem. And we said, if Joey Chestnut could come in, we've had other competitive eaters come in and play around with us. Badlands Booker, who also competed yesterday, correct? He's been in this thing every single year.
Every single year.
He has come in and eat hot dogs competitively with us. He has eaten against you. He's eaten against me. We've had a competitive eater in the hot dog eating contest at Nathan's, one of the very tried and true, very few great athletes, and he has done it. So we said, Joey and Megatoad, if you could come in, that would be great. We won't make you eat 20 hot dogs. Badlands Booker will. We won't make you do that damage, but we would like it if maybe you tried a hot dog. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Joey Chestnut come in the year prior when there was still the TBD and the AM and eat a hot dog, like teach them how to competitively eat a hot dog, and he did it himself as well?
I believe so. There was something to it.
He has some...
He ate. Put it this way. His jaws were on a hot dog here.
That's right. He put some meat in his mouth.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And he does a couple of promotional eating items every year to promote this thing. And so his PR team, you reached out to them, or maybe they reached out to us.
They reached out to me because of a relationship we already had due to Badlands Booker.
Okay. So him and Megatoad come in, and there's the understanding, hey, we're not going to make you eat a ton of hot dogs, but since you do promotional eating to promote this thing, can we have you eat one or two hot dogs, and we'll just make them kind of crazy hot dogs so that you get to kind of taste test these kind of nutso flavors. And we had a peanut butter and jelly hot dog. We had a s'mores hot dog.
A pizza dog.
We had a pizza hot dog. And hey, Megatoad, you try one. Joey, you try the other. Or we had all the condiments and the toppings here. We said, you make your own crazy hot dog and make the other guy eat it.
Right.
And so just one hot dog we were doing. One hot dog 2 days in advance or 3 days in advance. Earlier in the day, they had gone on SportsCenter and eaten a couple of hot dogs.
And they were bringing hot dogs to do the bit. The bit was agreed upon, and Nathan's going to send hot dogs. Hey, let's do this. We'll bring the hot dogs for you.
They bring us dozens of Nathan's hot dogs. We have all the condiments, all the toppings. We sit down and we say, well, we have ready-made hot dogs for you, or you can make your own. And what does Joey Chestnut say?
I'm not a monkey, Dan.
I'm not a monkey. I'm not a trained monkey. You can't tell me to dance. He also said, you're not putting that in me unless you pay me.
Putting it out there that they were kind of caught off guard.
So I was honestly very disappointed, okay? I was frustrated because why else would we have them in the studio? Was to do this bit. That's the only reason. That's why you're in studio, to do this bit. And suddenly Joey Chestnut grows this incredible attitude. And he goes, well, you wouldn't just ask Jenna Jameson to have sex on command. I'm like, what? Now you're comparing yourself to Jenna Jameson? He starts throwing an attitude. And I go, well, your PR team, this is all on the air. Your PR team told us you would eat the hot dogs. He goes, no, they didn't. I said, Mraz, did they not? Of course they did, because right before Chestnut and Megatoad walked in the studio, their PR guy was like, yeah, they've been eating hot dogs all day. I said, your PR guy says you've been eating hot dogs all day. He goes, no, we haven't. I said, wait a second. He just said it. What happened? That PR guy slinks out of the room and like runs down the hallway.
Gave me a salute. I haven't talked to him since.
So frankly, I lost a lot of respect for Joey Chestnut. And yesterday, hanging around the pool with the fam, barbecue's going, doing the whole 4th of July thing. My mom's like, oh, the hot dog eating contest is on. Let's go watch it. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to stay here. What happened in your household?
My dad said, hey, guys, come on. The hot dog eating contest is in. We're here every year. I'm sitting by the pool. I turned to my dad and said, you know what? I'm good this year. I don't need it. I'm good.
My mom comes out. She's like, Joey Chestnut just ate 72 hot dogs. My brother's like, no way. That's amazing. I'm like, yeah, that's a world record. I knew it. They're like, what? Isn't that amazing? I go, no, not really. And I said, you know, it's the way he treated us last year in studio that I will forever never forgive him. My dad said, you were a little too hard on him last year. I said, Dad, no. No, it wasn't in the agreement. They said they would do it. They brought the hot dogs. We had this whole bit. We promoted it for weeks on end. And I started just getting really, really hot and bothered. And I was the guy at the nice family party that everybody starts stepping away silently from, like, okay, let the weirdo crazy guy have his moment. And I couldn't stop ranting and raving about it. And my family started looking at me like I was nuts.
No, you're absolutely right. My father came out and said, you wouldn't believe it. Joey Chestnut just set another record. My response was one word, cool, and spilled K-E-W-L. That's how much I didn't care.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I put on my shades, and I said, deal with it. So he sets a record yesterday. Obviously, there's bad blood around here. We just had Jared Greenberg join us from NBA TV. He weighed in a little bit about why we're not giving him enough respect, talking about Joey Chestnut.
Kind of, okay, you want out? Well, have fun in Oklahoma City.
And that's what we were saying. You know what, Joey, you want out of the studio? We're not big enough for you. You know what? Have fun at doing local radio in OKC then. Let's see if they're going to honor you the same way. All right? Go somewhere else. Because we here had honored you and given you a platform and a forum.
And maybe there was some spite there. There's been some rumors swirling around.
Yeah, maybe there was some spite there. Maybe there was. And yeah, there has been some rumors floating around about us being unfair to Joey Chestnut. But frankly, I think it was deserved.
Putting it out there that they were kind of caught off guard.
We were caught off guard, Mraz. And I think Greenberg was right. He said that on NBA TV, and he was right. We were kind of caught off guard. And maybe there was some spite yesterday from us.
Certainly spite. 12 months later, it is the one bit that we have never recovered from. And we've had some bad ones on this show.
Yeah, I would say Aaron Rodgers telling you, get away from me, buddy, it's left a scar.
Well, that's left a scar, but I consider it a little different because at least it didn't happen on the air.
Yeah.
So that's just a personal vendetta, and as I said, the Packers are done anyway. I'm not worried because they're never going to win a playoff game again with Aaron Rodgers. But show-wise,
we've never recovered.
I've never recovered. I know I haven't recovered as a producer.
We haven't had an eating challenge since that day. That's over a year ago now.
And yeah, and we're trying to get our wienership together now, and I got to be honest, I'm a little sluggish here trying to book this thing, and I think Joey Chestnut scarred me forever. I didn't even have a hot dog all weekend. No hot dog for me.
You had no hot dog this weekend.
Not one dog.
Maybe subconsciously scarred by Chestnut and Megatoad.
And now that I think about it, I haven't been hip to the hot dogs all summer.
Not hip to the hot dogs.
Usually I have 70 hot dogs in a summer. I've maybe had two all summer.
You think he killed your love?
He might have killed my love for tubular meat.
You know, it's just not right. And I don't know how he's ever going to make it up to us. He needs to come in, apologize, come groveling, and eat copious amounts of tubular meat in front of us.
Maybe like Rome has the smack off coming on. We should have the apology off. Like one by one, we usher in Joey Chestnut, we usher in Aaron Rodgers, and they have to give us our best apologies, and we'll have listeners vote on who had the best apology.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's just amazing. I mean, the guy is known for one thing and one thing only, sticking meat in his mouth, okay? And just wiggling his body and shoveling it down his gullet.
Like a seal after a fish in the Bay Area.
Correct. And he comes in, we ask him to do one bite of one hot dog. No, you'll have to pay me. No, we're not doing it, man. No, we've been traveling all day doing promotional stuff. Oh, well, sorry. I'm not a trained monkey. What am I, Jenna Jameson? I don't even understand that metaphor to begin with, okay? All I know is yesterday I watched you throw 72 pieces of cured meat down your throat. And I ask you for one bite. No, too good for that. Sorry. You'll have to come back and you'll have to really grovel and you'll have to beg for forgiveness. Because I saw you, all that meat right down your mouth, right, shoving it right in your mouth yesterday. And in here, none of it. I see how it is. When we come back, your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. Plus, we've got your epic fail.
Puffiness with sodium.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very much, very puffy today.
Oh, okay.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, DA. You know what, my friend? I love you to death because if there's one thing that I've learned from listening to you is you stick to it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good Wednesday show for you. If you missed any part of it, you can watch it again at watchda.com. The most recent episode of the DA show airs on loop until the next one. And then also you can listen to us on iTunes if you missed anything. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. You could also tweet us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 that you spend. It's fast, it's easy, it's free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, e-store for details, better parts, better prices every day. Good tweets coming in today. Appreciate all the interactivity that we had here on the show. Sam tweets in, DA, ask the pros, is Danny Ainge done dealing or do you see him making another trade or signing? I think that he would have continued to deal with Gordon Hayward if Paul George was still available. I don't know what else is out there for him to go out and acquire. They're going to have to move some pieces around. Sounds like Marcus Smart is not going to be long for the Celtics. So by adding the salary of Gordon Hayward, they're going to have to do some things. And this, by the way, is part of the issue with the Golden State Warriors, is that last year was the only year because of this giant spike in the cap that happened because the union wanted it. The union wanted all of that money funneled into one offseason, whereas Adam Silver and the owners wanted it smoothed, but because it was a jagged cap jolt, the Warriors could afford to add $30 million of roster in Kevin Durant, a superstar, and not have to give up any significant salaries. The Celtics get a bump in the salary cap, as everybody else does this year, so they can add Gordon Hayward, but they also have to move some pieces around to make it happen. They can't just add him and not move anything, and that people, I think, fail to realize that the Warriors adding Durant last year was basically a loophole. Had Kevin Durant come available this year, the Golden State Warriors couldn't acquire him unless they moved a ton of pieces and maybe one of their three superstars. So the Celtics will get better, but they're going to have to give up some pieces as well to make it all work. And so maybe there's going to be a minor deal for Marcus Smart or however they want to move around their money. But honestly, you know, there's not going to be another big addition, I don't think, for the Celtics and Danny Ainge. The 2-3 tweets in, DA, a few years ago, the 5-6 seed of the East had better records than the 3-4 in the West. It's just a waste of time to bring it up. Should we reseed because Kawhi Leonard got injured, making Golden State play the Wizards or something? That idea is ridiculous. Well, you couldn't do it there because Kawhi Leonard got injured in the playoffs. This is about the idea that in the regular season, you're not seeding based on conference. You're seeding on based on 1 through 30. The Golden State Warriors are 1. the Nets are 30, and now break out your 16 NBA playoff teams, which I think would be a better path to the playoffs. I think it would make for a much better postseason, but it's obviously never going to happen because the NBA, as all these leagues are beholden to the old conferences because it would just be too radical. Steve tweets, DA, if you lost respect for Joe Bob Chestnut, did you really lose anything? Mark tweets, and DA, I'm new to the show. That Chestnut story is insane. He knows who he is, right? I mean, Mr. Six is probably a bigger get than him. You know, here's what I would say in defense of Joey Chestnut. We were doing the night show, and so we were the last stop on a long day of promotional stuff. They were up in Bristol doing ESPN stuff. Then they came into New York City to do another New York City stuff. Then we were the last hit. And so maybe at the end of the day, doing all these promotional hits, Joey Chestnut's not exactly the most interesting person anyway. You're getting asked just simply about the same thing over and over again. How do you eat so many hot dogs? Maybe he's just a little short and perturbed, and then somebody says, okay, we want you to eat crazy hot dogs. But the way that he explained not doing it was, well, you'd have to pay me. You can't pay me enough. We're not doing it. I'm not doing it. Wasn't in the contract. Where it was just like, hey, guys, honestly, it's been a long, long day. You know, I know we agreed to something, but like off the air go, hey, I know, but can we figure out a way to make this thing work? Instead of just being adamant, no, we're not doing it. No way, you'd have to pay me. I'm not doing it. I'm not a trained monkey. Like, what? Dude, all you're known for is eating hot dogs. You know, you're not known for your philosophy on climate change. So can we eat a hot dog? You know, since you're here to promote eating hot dogs? But again, Nathan's wanted to come in here and promote his hot dog eating contest, and they brought hot dogs. What do you want us to do? They're like, okay, you guys eat all the hot dogs. Well, we're not going to be on stage at Coney Island. You are. You're known for eating hot dogs. So can we eat a hot dog here? I do want to know. I do want to know. Mraz, are we getting closer, inching closer to our own wienership number four?
We are in. There are several hurdles here that I am tackling every day. I want to say, are we inching closer? Yes. In some way or another, somebody here on the show is eating something competitively before football season starts.
Okay. I can accept that.
What you think about that, DA?
I think it's fair.
Thank you.
Let's get to your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee.
You knew about this and you didn't tell me?
Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show.
We can't keep you all here.
I'm no longer on the team?
It's the cut line.
Everybody on that line.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Somebody's going to get hurt. Chris Bosh has been released by the Miami Heat. It was an awkward ending. There were some raw feelings, no doubt about it, but he finally gets his release from the Miami Heat. He says he's not retiring despite the blood clot situation. He says there's still a part of him that wants to play in the NBA. But with this, the Heat clear $52 million off of their salary cap and now go from $9 million of cap space to $34 million in cap space. The problem is, their big target was Gordon Hayward, and now he's done. Now he's gone. But the Miami Heat also bent over backwards in saying that Chris Bosh was an amazing guy. Chris Bosh changed all of our lives, and nobody will ever wear number one again for the Miami Heat. I think part of this is some type of reworked contract buyout thing where the clause is, okay, I'm not going to stick around. You can buy me out. I'll make this money, but I won't be on the salary cap. But, hey, I need my jersey up in the rafters. There's something about this, or maybe Pat Riley feels like he acted really cold towards Chris Bosh, or that this was a frosty relationship that he wants to do right by. But it seems a little weird to say, okay, we bought out Chris Bosh, and oh, by the way, we're retiring his number. Like, doesn't that kind of happen down the road when you have a little bit of historical perspective? But Chris Bosh was always wildly underrated. Chris Bosh was underrated up in Toronto. Chris Bosh became the whipping boy in Miami. Chris Bosh was an excellent Hall of Fame caliber basketball player who collected two rings and did defer and did sacrifice for the betterment of that team and for LeBron and Dwayne Wade, and does deserve a lot of respect for that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Sounds like there still could be a discipline coming for Ezekiel Elliott. This is an investigation into domestic violence that is now a year old. And Adam Schefter keeps going back and forth saying there could be discipline, there might not be discipline, we just don't know yet. But last July, Deadspin found Instagram photos from the woman that was his ex-girlfriend, Ezekiel Elliott's, that had bruises on her knee and her arms and her necks, on her neck. And the caption of the photos was an allegation that she had been abused for a long time. So then the NFL got involved. And it's a year later. I mean, I can't believe that the NFL a year later still hasn't decided what they want to do with Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, come on, guys.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, in the weirdest story of the weekend, a AAA prospect for the Mets, Logan Taylor, was walking down a street in Salt Lake City when a homeless man approached him and asked him for his wallet. The prospect, Taylor, refused to give up his wallet and started walking on. But that's when the homeless guy came up from behind him and hit him in the neck with, like, some pole or some piece of iron or something, a tire iron. Hit him with a tire iron. The thief then tried to steal Taylor's wallet again, but didn't get it. But Taylor went to the hospital, severe lacerations to the back of his head, needed seven staples in his head, and has a concussion, and is now on the DL. Scary story. And of course the Mets have a prospect that got hit in the head by a homeless guy with a tire iron and had to go on the DL for it.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
My goodness. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. We were talking about trying to get the most out of dessert with Brad Heller, dessert coordinator. And that brought us to Mraz talking about tricks of the trade when going to the frozen yogurt place. But I don't think he's right about this.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Because if you're the D coordinator, you should know it.
What's the trick?
What are you referring to?
What you're referring to is when you fill it with your frozen yogurt or your ice cream, if you will, you got to tap that cup down to make sure it falls down into place so you could pack more into it.
Yes, oh no, it is very easy.
I'm a creative genius.
The way it swirls in the cup, it is very easy, you know, to take up volume. Yeah.
I mean, right, and that's like where they get you. It's deceiving. They want you to let you know you think you have more than you do. No. You tap it down, let it sink down.
But don't you pay by weight anyway?
But still.
No, not still.
Still, you want more in that cup.
I mean, if you're going to pay for weight, you want to fill up the cup as much as possible. And if there's small little pockets of empty space,
you wouldn't pay for that.
The toppings can go in there.
I think the empty space still weighs something.
What would the empty space weigh? It's just air.
It's air. It doesn't matter what you fill. As long as you're not filling it with water, air is air.
No, but it's like ice cream on top of ice cream. It just still, the density is there for weight.
The density is there for
weight?
I'm
not bringing a scale. I want to fill up the cup as much as I can.
You pay by weight, though.
I'm telling you, though, because it's so light anyway, it's still, those empty pockets still weigh the same.
That doesn't make any sense.
It does. Scientifically, it does.
I hear what he's saying. You just want to fill every available spot.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
You want to fill up every available
If you just paid by cup, one price. But if you pay by weight, it doesn't matter.
No, but when you build a house, right, the house weighs a lot, but most of it's empty. It doesn't matter. Even if you filled that with light ice cream, it would still weigh the same.
Uh-huh.
Can I just point out the fact that I thought when you were talking about the frozen yogurt trick that you meant like sample hopping, just going in and get cup after cup after cup.
That's a good trick.
Until you're filled up.
Go stuff yourselves.
And well, then that's you're not like, a you trick. Know what? That's stealing.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
That's so good. My man Hank tweets in, oh my God, what is Mraz talking about? Have him fill one hand with Froyo and leave one hand empty. Which is heavier?
It's not the same thing.
I don't know what you guys think, but if you're paying by weight, then the air's not weighing anything and you're not paying for it.
Right. In general capacity speaking terms, air doesn't weigh anything. But when frozen yogurt has little air pockets in there, those air are going to weigh the same as if they're filled with little frozen yogurt pockets.
So you think the air within frozen yogurt actually weighs something where the air outside frozen yogurt doesn't.
Right, because it's almost like built like a structure. It's just like hollow on the inside because the yogurt's all surrounding it.
So you think somehow air takes on a different weight when it's inside frozen yogurt cups?
I'm sure it has something to do with the frozen temperature.
I'm sure it does, man. I'm sure it does. So... Mike in Kansas City asks, DA, was there a home run derby when Bo Jackson was in Major League Baseball? He would have crushed it along with 25 bats in his head. Indeed, they instituted the home run derby back during the Bo Jackson era back in the late 80s, but he did not win one. I always wish we had Bo Jackson at his peak for a while, because things like the home run derby or just simply the All-Star Game, where he was once the MVP of the league, of the All-Star Game, rather, would be amazing to watch that guy just do amazing things every single game, every single year during his prime. That'll do it for us here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, the man Rob Duffy in the Wheels of Steel, and Andrew Kaplan on your digital broadcast, Brad Heller, your dessert coordinator. I'm DA. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.